participation impossible.
The Afghanistan war debate rages on. President Obama huddled with his national security team, and now the strategy is kind of moving in a different direction, perhaps arguing that Pakistan is the ultimate target, Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, and the Taliban in Afghanistan is not really that direct threat to the United States. And why are we there? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. One of the things that we're going to talk about, you think of the people who have served the 8 years, the blood shed, the money spent, the bogus election that just unfolded to the tune of $300 million. So what was the meeting for? Secretary of Defense was there and the usual characters to discuss Pakistan. Because Obama hasn't decided whether to approve a proposed troop buildup in Afghanistan. Remember, General McChrystal has asked for 30,000 to 40,000 new troops. So there is now this shift in thinking. Remember about 4 months ago, we had Frank Gaffney on, who served in the government under Bush 1. He was one of the undersecretaries of defense, and he told us, He's with the senator for security policy. He is the president of that organization and testifies, and he's there on the Hill a lot. And he said to us several times, you know, really the shame of this whole thing is Pakistan is where the battle's at. Really. So now the White House deciding, Pakistan might really be where the battle's at. No decision yet on Afghanistan. This is a major shift in thinking. And I think there were some newspapers, big ones across the country, that were trying to blow this out, the New York Times for one. But is this suggesting now that this new approach won't require additional troops? Instead, we're shifting somehow to Pakistan because that's the greater priority. And that's what Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, warned about, and also Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Both are saying the Taliban is still, however, linked to Al-Qaeda, and you would get these safe havens if the Taliban regained control of a large part of Afghanistan. Why don't we just invade every bloody place we can in the Middle East? How many people can we send, and how many different places can we go? Any decision at all is certainly going to cause consternation for some group. Here's what you do when you're the leader of the free world. You analyze the information you've been given. You do have meetings like this one, although you hold them several months earlier. And then you make a decision based on what you've heard. So what is the deal now? You're going to counter and focus attention on these Al-Qaeda cells in Pakistan, or ignore some of what McChrystal is saying with Afghanistan, or split the difference somehow in between. I just don't get it. The White House is now rethinking what was just 6 months ago a strategy that viewed Afghanistan and Pakistan as the problem, just one problem. Now, they're focusing on separate strategies for two different groups, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So, yes, do we know that there's a murderous agenda, as it was quoted in the New York Times, for Al-Qaeda and other threats to the U.S. homeland and American interests abroad? I mean, it's not the only threat. Of course not. Of course we know there are other threats. I mean, look what's happened with homegrown terror cells or people who have been trained by the Taliban in Pakistan. And, of course, like the Zazi, the guy they picked up in Denver, who was the shuttle driver, who was going to try to blow up a part of the subway in New York. I mean, give me a break. We already know this, obviously. The idea is search, destroy, blow up the leadership, kill the infrastructure, right? So how do you kill the infrastructure of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda? How do you do that? That's what all the conversation should center around, okay? So how many fighters does Al-Qaeda have? How many fighters does the Taliban have? Assess how big of a threat are both of these groups. So now, what, downgrading one and putting the other as a bigger threat? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it the Taliban? The Taliban, they're claiming we're not a threat to anybody. We just want to be left alone, but we're going to continue to fight in Afghanistan against the Americans and the allies as long as you are on our soil. And what we thought we heard before is that the mission was to dismantle and defeat Al-Qaeda and other extremist networks, period, end of story, right? Isn't that the focus? So now it's more about weighing the options on both of these groups. What to do about Afghanistan? What do you do with Afghanistan? Well, you cannot dangle these troops any longer. Either you're backing them up because you need more soldiers, and yet so many people have been to Afghanistan, the Russians included. It didn't work for them. What makes the United States think that they're going to topple the Taliban in Afghanistan? They're going to see more ambushes, more people turning and tricking them, and maybe some victories here and there, but how can you really walk out of that country with a victory unless you bomb the crap out of it? I mean, bomb it beyond recognition. I mean, we're talking almost nuke this place, right? What's the Taliban going to do? They're just going to keep coming back for more because they know. You just kill them. What are you going to do? Kill them one at a time? How do you drain the swamp that way? Pick off one here, one there, a gaggle of them here. Frustrating. If this were your call, ladies and gentlemen, what would you do? What would be your modus operandi? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. The president, by the way, has made it pretty clear, weeks away from any kind of a decision. So it's not going to happen anytime soon. Probably, at best, maybe the end of October. Let's just hope that's not too late for the people who get ambushed in between and find themselves without the helicopters backing them up, which is what happened. No air support to the guys that found themselves completely trapped with rockets, you know, being shot at them and also a machine gun fire from hidden places in the mountains and in a mosque that was there. So for goodness sake, they have to get help, whatever it is. Hey, coming up a little bit later on this show, what is the word that annoys most of us the most? You might be surprised. There was a little poll done on it, and maybe you won't be surprised. It could be some of the obvious choices, but I think you've probably all heard it a time or two. If you had to think of what word annoys you the most, what would that word be? We're going to tell you a little bit later here on America Tonight.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
This is an important message for caregivers.
My mom spends a lot of time alone, and I worry about her safety and well-being. Sometimes she forgets to take her medications, and we both know that puts her health at risk. I would like an easy and inexpensive way to make sure she is safe and taking care of herself.
If you have a loved one who spends time alone, we urge you to request a free caregiver's guide. Call 973-872-9400 or visit www.thecaregiversguide.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try liquid zeolite today.
Abracadabra, I wish I could do something to reach out and get the White House to make a decision that's not going to take three more weeks on what to do in Afghanistan. Do you know we have some breaking news? There's been a blast in Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, so far, and they don't know the exact numbers, but 7 civilians dead and 45 wounded. And this happened on Thursday, obviously, because it's Thursday now, outside of the one of the embassies in that area, the Indian embassy. It was the center of the attack, just a large bomb blasting through the market across from a street. And even though there were guards at the embassy compound, there was just debris all over the place. And ambulances and the usual thing that you see at any kind of a blast site. If you remember, the Indian Embassy was the scene in July last year of the deadliest attack in the capital of the eight-year-old war, when a Taliban suicide car bomber killed 58 people, and that included a couple of senior Indian diplomats, and 141 people, if you remember, were wounded in that one. They're trying to figure out who could be behind the attack, but right now, because they're sorting it all out, there's just some of the obvious ideas of who it is, but it hasn't, they haven't come up with whether it's the Taliban or whoever it is right this second. Obviously, violence is starting to really rip through that country, with Obama considering whether to send 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan, as has been requested by General McChrystal. You have the decision. What do you do? I can tell you this. Whatever I would do, I mean, now he is huddling with people who were advising him. I understand that you should take thoughtful consideration of what the next move is, because we're talking about American lives, And we're trying to get allies to chip in. And, of course, lots of money goes along with this, and we've already invested 8 years. But I would think that this would have been just a bigger priority, even though there are other things to deal with. You got to focus on one thing, then move to the next. It's like a to-do list. Here is my to-do list as President of the United States. Here are the impossible tasks, but this is what I signed up for. This is why you elected me. And boom, 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 I'm going down the list. Certainly, it does not take months upon months to figure out what you're going to do in Afghanistan and finally meet with your general after only seeing him once in May for the first time at the very end of September. Does not make sense. Jana is listening to us in Iowa. Do we have some applause for Jana? We haven't talked to Jana in a while. Get those people up in Minneapolis. She's one of our favorites. I was worried. I was going to be calling down there in a tumble to make sure Jana was okay. Hey, Jana, what's shaking?
Well, not too much, and I'm doing real good.
Good.
Thanks for caring, and thanks for the ovation.
You got it.
I want to talk about this thing in Afghanistan. I tell you, it's just terrible. They ought to have you or I deciding what to do. First, you have to have your confidence of your convictions.
Yep.
You got to be a real warrior. You got to have real leadership. You got to know your objectives. You've got to state your intentions. If you're worrying about stepping on your semi-allies, semi-enemies, you've got to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the least collateral damage. But you can't let it tie your hands that you might harm somebody that's in the way that shouldn't be there. You've got to be like Israel. Israel's good in this type of warriorhood. You know, they say what they're going to do, and they go do it, and they carry it out precisely. And that's what we need. We need some real leadership.
I agree, because you do. Well, I like what you said in the beginning. You have to carry out your convictions and let the chips fall where they may. It's like I said, Jana, he signed up for the job. He was elected. He wanted to be president. Now you're president. And boo-hoo, if some people don't like you because you make a decision they don't like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You just make the decision. You have one thing you can say about Dick Cheney. I love the thing. One thing I liked about Dick Cheney is he could care less what anybody thought. He really could. He just said what he thought. Remember the one interview that he did and one of the reporters asked him, well, you know, the American people are kind of tired of this this war. They don't like this situation or whatever. And he said, tough.
I do remember that, yes.
You're not going to be loved by everybody, regardless if you're a semi-popular president, not a popular president, or anywhere in between.
No, and it boils down to having confidence in your convictions and trying to do the right thing. If you believe, you know, that you're on the side of good and you aren't in there, you know, like willy-nilly just doing carnage to kill a bunch of civilians and stuff, you could make, you know, precise strikes and stuff. And it just takes real leadership and a real confidence in your convictions. And you can't have somebody that's willy-nilly or afraid of what people are going to think of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And the problem is it's politics as usual. Jana, we'll talk to you again. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
And that's it's what I say. They're playing for the next 4 years. So this is where we've come with our two-party system in the United States. We've gotten to the point where it's become such a machine that the people around you are just focused really on the one thing, and the one thing is, wow, what are the approval ratings? What are the American people saying? What are we hearing on talk radio? What are we hearing on Fox News? What are we hearing on the other cable stations? What are they saying? What's going on? And, you know, if the one thing that is, I think, has been very strange about the Obama administration from the get-go, and I wouldn't have predicted this, I would have thought with all the bluster of coming in and the speeches and everything that it would have been more of what Jana just said. Follow through, go just make the decisions and say, geez, I'm sorry if I can't please everybody, but I'm the president of the United States. I'm the Solomon. And here's what I've decided and why. Boom. End of story. Pepper me with questions, but boom. End of story. Right. The buck stops here. But it's been anything really but that. It's more waffling at times, going back after saying certain things, you know, making what seems to be decisive statements and then turning them around. We will close Gitmo by January. Okay, but nobody wants the suspected terrorists to be in the United States. And oops, there's backlash because, yes, thank goodness the American people spoke out and called their congressmen and their senators, especially in Michigan and Kansas. And now, oops, well, what are we going to do? Looks like we can't close it in January. Then it's like the CIA thing. All right, that was in the past. Let's move forward. That was, the letter of the law that was written in those memos then at the time, the legal memos. And we're going to just move forward with this because we have the situation to deal with now. We don't want to aid the enemy by putting more pictures out there and publishing them and dragging people through these hearings, because we've looked, as attorneys, we've looked at what was laid out previously. And sure, we've changed the game. We think it was terroristic and torture, torture as to what was going on, particularly with three, giant suspects that we had in our custody. But, okay, at the time, these legal memos were crafted, and that's how things went down, and we're moving forward. So it's spelled out like that, but then it's taken back, and that's what we keep seeing. And then various times in talking to the media, what I'm surprised at, and this still continues with Obama, is that he cares so much about what Fox News thinks or what any other reporter or newspaper person, beat writer, whatever, thinks. I don't get that, because he said that in several of the speeches that he's made, whether it's at a town hall or to the reporters at the White House, et cetera, in the green room. I just don't get it, because who cares? Why, unless it's just bombarding him and there's no way to shake it off other than to address it, I don't understand. And so as a result, you have, Afghanistan just wavering, just hanging in the balance, and there's too many lives that are out there. I mean, what do these guys think? What do the people think who are deployed, who are patriotic, who want to go, who have whatever reason they have, come from military families, feel proud, and whatever reasons, I can help my family and I can help my country. And then it's like we're stranding them. We're just asking them to walk the plank, and we're not giving them the resources they need. We've had this conversation once before when it came to equipment and it came to Iraq. Ugh. All right. What's the most annoying word in a poll that was released by Marist College? Wait till you hear. You'll enjoy this. Stick with us.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
You've heard the Get the Tea commercials, and many people like our commercials, but I did notice something. What the heck is a toxin? So, here it is. A toxin is a poisonous substance that is capable of causing disease when introduced into the body. Formaldehyde, from seat cushions and particle board. How about carbon monoxide, furnace-burning propane, butane, disinfectants, perfume, mouthwash, glues, air fresheners, pesticides. Oh my gosh, even sugar is a toxin, according to Dr. Lau. It's a very addictive drug. It's time to fight back. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can get your trusty cell phone out and call us at 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And put in your order today. Lose weight, feel good, and be free of all these toxins. GetTheTea.com.
Air guitar songs, isn't it? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. If you've never heard the show before, just know that when you climb on board, you won't want to get off because we really do steer all over the place. We're kind of like those Somalian pirates. You just can't really find us. We're in this corner and that corner. It's not just one topic, pounding it to the ground all the time. The outrage of the day that sometimes is way too prevalent in talk radio. At least we try not to do that. Sometimes you can't help it, right? Because all of us want to vent on one particular thing. All right, I'm going to vent here before we get to the word that drives us crazy. And you've heard me talk about Michael Vick before in the whole dogfighting thing. I'm sure now if Tomas in Michigan is up, he's probably cringing because he didn't think the Michael Vick thing was such a big deal. Big deal with the dogs. But it's not about Michael Vick so much. It's about why do the people who are infamous or do unbelievable things and sure pay their penance or apologize or whatever, why do they seem to reap the benefits? You know, the dogs that Michael Vick personally killed and the people around him killed, they're not getting revived. They're dead. And probably didn't even get a proper little burial. Just half of them were thrown in water, drowned. I won't go through all the gory details, but you get the idea. Yes, he did his time, and I think that we should all move forward on it. Absolutely. 18 months in prison. But now check this out. BET, which sometimes, you know, they offer some pretty decent programming. They used to. And now they have offered a deal, I guess it's signed, sealed, and delivered, to Eagles quarterback Michael Vick, 8-part television series. Uh-huh. They're going to spotlight his comeback with the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to go back into his history of his life, into his backstory, from his rough childhood to his 2007 arrest for running a dogfighting ring. Okay. And if you remember, well, you know the story. Gets out of prison, talks to the NFL, finally gets a deal as a backup guy in Philly. And apparently the cameras are allowed to follow him around and whatnot. Now, as he is an Eagle and they have other footage of him getting out of prison and all of that sort of stuff. I don't really agree with PETA that much on half of the nonsense that they do. But PETA, one of the spokespeople, said people who abuse animals don't deserve to be rewarded. They shouldn't get million-dollar, multi-million-dollar contracts or be given the privilege of being a role model. And now the show. I agree with the show thing. It's probably something that at least the PETA people are not going to be sitting there, you know, setting their DVRs to. So I'm going to say for that reason, originally I was going to put Michael Vick in the dungeon, but we've done that, I'm sure, in the past. And if Michael Vick is reaping the benefits, that's the fault of the people who are letting him reap the benefits, including the Black Entertainment Network for putting the series together. Shame on them. They know that it's controversial. They're going to get pub on it, and they'll probably get some ratings. And that's what happens in television, and that's what happens in entertainment. It's the, you know, they whore themselves out. And like I said, this network, that network started pretty good. They gave a lot of opportunities to some unknown, talented people, and they had some decent programs. But I'm going to say, shame on you, BET. So we're going to put all your little execs in prison to see what that feels like. Open the dungeon, please.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. You just know, like I said, it's about the ratings. It probably will be a huge success. There's probably going to be a lot of people who are going to watch. They're going to watch a football player like Vic, who, you know, engaged in the dogfighting thing, went to prison and did all that other sort of stuff. Anyway, the series will air in 2010, probably in January of 2010. Now on to the most annoying word. Do you know what the most annoying word is? Sadly, I know I have used this word probably too often in the past. Although I might not have said it quite in the way that the people who took the poll said it annoyed them. The most annoying word by 47% of the Americans surveyed in the Marist College poll is...
whatever.
Whatever. Can we say that again?
Whatever.
Although that pronunciation isn't as bad as whatever. So... whatever beat out, you know, and some other annoying contenders were anyway. It is what it is. Oh, I hate that. At the end of the day, well, you know, at the end of the day, whatever was number one. Anyway was 7% said that. Whatever, 47%, by the way. It is what it is, 11%. At the end of the day, 2%. See, it's that exasperated expression that sort of, it just sort of hangs on. It's almost like that Valley Girls deal if you go way back to Clueless. But it's, if you go back to Clueless, you're talking about early 90s, and it still has hung around. And the interesting thing is, it doesn't matter, and the poll found this, how old you were, what your gender was, what your income was, where you lived, that this was sort of that old... all-purpose word that annoyed people, the whatever word. And it's turned into slang, sort of suggesting dismissiveness. Whatever. And that's, I think, how it comes out very negative. And that's probably why it annoys people. And it, like I said, it's got negative written all over it. All over it. And you know... it's just flows out. You know, was overused recently by Caroline Kennedy when there was that possibility of her being in the New York Senate, grabbing that seat that was vacant by Hillary Clinton when she went on to be the Secretary of State. And I was surprised by that. I was surprised when she was interviewed and she gave a little speech somewhere. I don't know how many times she said, you know, but it just was annoying. I couldn't even focus on anything she was saying after that. And a lot of people caught that. You could have tallied up the you knows. And to me, sometimes, and all of us at some point say it, throw it into our language, but it's the repetition of it, especially in speeches. When somebody's giving a speech, instead of the pause to think of the word or pause for effect, you know that somebody's grasping or nervous when they use it constantly. I mean, you can fill in gaps here and there with it. It's when it's continuous that you get the feeling something's not right with the person who's delivering the speech. All right, Donovan, what to you is the most annoying word? Is it whatever?
Honestly, the word that annoys me most is methodology.
Methodology. Why do people say that to you a lot? Well, our current methodology, do they use that?
People use it a lot, or at least I hear people use it a lot incorrectly. Assuming that it's synonymous with the word method, but methodology having the Greek suffix ology onto it would imply a study or a concerted examination of various methods. So if you've, you know, just chosen a method, then you have a method and you are executing your method. The only reason you would need a methodology is if you consider several methods and are trying to determine which one is best for what you intend to do.
So what annoys you more is the lack of understanding the word, really, and using it incorrectly,
well,
I would say.
Well, it's that, and it's an attempt to sound, you know, educated and literate with no actual understanding of the word you're using.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you used methodology. I wouldn't have pegged that as one of the words you would have said, but now that we have the little history on that, it makes sense. I think the you know thing gets to me the most. It depends, and only because it's like I explained, if there's the repetition over and over again, I realize that who's ever speaking is uncomfortable or something's going on, they've forgotten something, and everybody uses it. At some point, you use that word, but it's how much you use it and what you're saying. The whatever thing I get, that's the sort of throwaway phrase, if you will, whatever. He told me this and then did this, whatever. And I do hear that a lot. But it's the, you know, probably that would get to me the most. And it is what it is. Hey, that's another throwaway phrase. I can't think of a way to describe to you what I'm feeling, so it is what it is. That's what that is. Okay.
I had a friend in high school that ended every sentence with, and stuff.
Coming up next on America Tonight, the father of Palin's grandson is going to pose for a naughty magazine, or might be not so naughty for some people, and so much more stuff here on ATN.
Whatever.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit purewaterfreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, purewaterfreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. Purewaterfreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, undersink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water. water in no time.
Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist.
Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit purewaterfreedom.com. Purewaterfreedom.com, the best filtered water in the world.
Berkey Water Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration available on the market. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrites, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 4 years serving thousands of satisfied customers, we offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today and we'll include two black Berkey elements and three sport Berkey water bottles for only $209 with free shipping. That's right, free shipping and three sport Berkey water bottles and $89 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 877-886-3653 now to order. That's the Berkey guy at 877-886-3653. Or visit our website at directive21.com.
When looking at your personal preparedness level, remember the freeze-dry guy. During times of physical and emotional stress like the uncertain times we live in today, it is vital that you not alter your diet too much. You should only store what you usually eat because one day you may have to eat only what you have stored. Lucky for you, there's the freeze-dry guy. Featuring the superior nutrition and taste you've come to expect, the freeze-dry guy has a wide variety of choices in freeze-dried foods. All freeze-dried foods are no-cook products requiring only hot water and a few minutes of your time. The freeze-dry guy has been serving various government agencies as well as the private sector with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. Consider the technological advances made in computers from the punch card days of the 60s and 70s to the high-speed personal computers of today. Comparably, the advances made in food storage from the World War II era till now are equally great. Visit the website at www.freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just.
In honor of the word that annoys so many of you the most, this is our whatever segment here on America Tonight.
Whatever.
Top of this one, we go to Levi Johnson. Boy, this family, whether it's Johnson or Palin or anybody else, the crew certainly knows how to make money after getting some popularity and notoriety or whatever. I'm going to try to use whatever on purpose. So anyway, Levi Johnson is going for big time exposure. The 19-year-old father of Sarah Palin's grandchild is going to pose for Playgirl. He is training 3 hours a day, six nights a week at an Anchorage gym with a local bodybuilder because he wants to look sweet and toned. A formal agreement hasn't been reached with the online magazine, but it's a foregone conclusion, apparently. Johnson, we know the story, fathered a son with Bristol, the 18-year-old daughter of Sarah Palin. Publications of the photographs could be a source of embarrassment probably for some of the people connected to him. But you would think it might be a big hit because he also has this weird little following. And the couple broke up, if you know or don't know, after the birth of their son Tripp in December. So I would say the relationship between the Palins and Johnston probably a little strained or icy, and most of what the problem is over visitation issues with the son. So he's been marketing himself as a possible model or going for an acting career. He's been spending time in New York and Los Angeles. He's got his first television commercial. He's hawking wonderful brand pistachios, which debuted this week to high numbers because you had the Letterman controversy. And before that, you had the Minnesota Vikings game with Green Bay, and he was featured in those spots if you happen to see them. So there isn't a date set for the photo shoot, but you can bet seeing him in the buff will probably lead to sales for the online magazine. I just wonder, online magazine with naked men in it. I didn't even know that it went online, that there wasn't a regular magazine. But, hey, so many magazines are going under, they can't afford to print them anymore because they can't get any of the advertising. It's like that gourmet magazine. I think I said that on our last show. It had been around for 75 years, and the last issue is in November because Condé Nast has no choice but to decide, which mags are we going to get rid of to try to survive in really rough times for the print media, whether it's newspapers or magazines. It's funny because when you think of the airline travel, and people can't help it, they might bring work with them and bring other things, but they're picking up magazines. I see a lot of people reading magazines, but apparently not enough. Are a lot of people smoking dope, or at least supporting it in California? That's the question. It's been tossed around that all the problems they're having financially could be solved if they would just legalize marijuana. So the people who are pushing for that are gathering signatures when they're not getting stoned to get at least three pot legalization measures on the ballot in 2010. It could be a huge clash with the feds over the U.S. drug policy. There's one poll out that shows that voters would support lifting the pot prohibition, which would make the state of how many, I guess, I don't know, 40 million, somewhere in that neighborhood, maybe more, the first to legalize marijuana. But it would also put the state into a conflict with the feds, as I said, in raising questions about how federal law enforcement could enforce drug laws in this, you know, era of trying to have the great crackdown in the face of massive government-sanctioned, pot industry. So they already have a thriving marijuana trade. I think I read this somewhere a couple of weeks ago in Los Angeles. They have like 18 marijuana stores, medicinal marijuana stores in Los Angeles. Immediately I thought of Weeds, that television show on Showtime, not being so far off the mark. You know, they sell all kinds of, you know, it's a marijuana dispensary is what they call it, all-purpose pot stores, and they have the open sale of joints and whatnot. But if they have full legalization, that could turn those places into anybody could walk in. You could just smoke pot. So under federal law, marijuana, of course, illegal. We know that. We've seen the raids in California's Sierra Nevada foothills, and we've seen what happened with that crazy drug czar deal that the federal drug czar, who said legalization is not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine. But who knows, since all these czars are going off into the deep end, he may be another one of them. The U.S. Supreme Court is saying that the federal law enforcement agents have the right to crack down even on marijuana users and distributors who do comply with medical marijuana laws, so they have the upper hand. There's no question the law across the board has the upper hand in this. But what happens if the vote goes a different way? With the federal ban still in place, the federal government could enforce it, so it doesn't mean the states have to follow suit, right? You would think. And they won't, the government won't be able to require California to help enforcing the federal marijuana ban if the state legalizes it. That's where it would go. Oh, can you imagine that? Just people would just be smoking pot everywhere on the streets in LA and San Francisco and in the parks, driving the kids to school. How many people use marijuana? How many people do you think get baked in this country? You love that expression? Of the more than 847,000 marijuana-related arrests in 2008, just so you know, because a lot of cops say legalize it, just over 6,300 suspects were booked by federal law enforcement folks. So that's what, fewer than 1%. I have a feeling that this could fly, that one of the three not amendments, but one of the three proposals in 2010 could float somewhere, and then you could get an approval. But it really would set up an incredible clash, if you think about it. And if you've got people smoking pot in California, where does it go next? It's like you think of the things. You think of gambling, prostitution, and marijuana. Which of those three controversial things has a chance across the board to be legalized? Oldest profession in the world? I don't think so. Gambling? I don't think so. Vegas, Atlantic City, Indian reservations, the casinos there. I still don't think you would ever get enough support, especially in the South, for completely across the board legalizing gambling. And then you have marijuana. How far does the marijuana thing go across the country? California, yes, I think it happens in California, but then gets reversed and sets up still, even though they say it doesn't have to be, a federal showdown with the state itself. And maybe there are others who follow suit and it gets overturned at some point. So to answer my own question, and if you're listening to me, you're probably thinking the same thing. I don't think in my lifetime anyway, in the future down the road even further, perhaps, but I don't think that pot will be legalized or prostitution or gambling, at least so that it's in every single state. Mm-mm. Because there's ways to get around the gambling thing anyway with the casinos. It's not the same as going to Vegas or building up an area, but it is gambling. There is gambling on the casino, and they do have some of the tables now, meaning poker and blackjack and stuff, but it seems to be mostly machines at some of the places. But Foxwoods in Connecticut, for example, some of you listening to me in Connecticut, you know what I'm talking about. It's jammed. I mean, you see cars from license plates from all over the place there. So obviously in the Northeast, people want to do it. They want to go to Atlantic City or they want to go there. And they've got to be raking in bucks because remember, the house always wins. Always wins at some point. Speaking of the House winning, what about the Senate Finance Committee? The health care bill costs, just to reiterate that, because the CBO came back with a number, $829 billion. But they don't tell you about the taxes or how the premiums will go up. So remember, you always have to ask those questions. Thanks for asking questions on this show and sending me the emails at americatonight.net.
But I said, I don't care if they lay me off either, because I told Bill that if they move my desk one more time, then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit.